home when last time I heard that song, probably. And so, praise the Lord, that's a blessing. Amen. All right, is there a junior church today?
Yes.
All right, junior church, you can be dismissed. So any kids heading to junior church, you head off. I did want to say about the fair booth, thank you again for all those that signed up, those that are going to be working this week. Just wanted to encourage you as you're at the fair booth and passing out gospel tracts and talking to people to be kind. Don't forget that. Be kind. Be prayed up as well as you're on your way driving in. Say, Lord, help me to be a testimony for you. And Lord, we want to represent, of course, our church. There's a big sign that says Faith Baptist Church, but also we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to be prayed up and ask the Lord to use us. And then as well, you know, there's no real dress code per se, but just dress like you're representing the Lord. And so there's jokes to go there, but I'm not going to do that. So sometimes I listen to the Lord when he says, don't say that. But I also wanted to say this. I was talking to, well, so my son Austin and I went on our first overnight backpacking trip last week. And not this past week, the week, whatever. All right, a little bit ago. And we went out and spent the night and in the woods and did all that kind of stuff. But I was talking to a friend of mine. He sent me this. In Montana, he says, the Montana Department of Fish and Wildlife is advising hikers to take precautions for bears. The department advises people to wear noise-producing devices, such as little bells on their clothing to alert, or on your backpacks or something, to alert but not to startle the bears. And it also advises them to carry pepper spray, sometimes called bear spray, in case an encounter cannot be avoided. Experts add that it's a good idea to watch for fresh signs of bear activity and that people should recognize the difference between black bear and grizzly bear droppings. This is what I have to do now, obviously, to go into the woods, is study bear droppings. It does give me a little help. It says black bear droppings are small and contain berries and possibly small animal fur. Grizzly bear droppings have little bells in them and smell like pepper. Little bells and smell like pepper. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm glad, you know, people are just looking out for me. That's all. John chapter 12 this morning. John chapter 12. John 12, my family and I, most of us at least, Carson stayed back, but the rest of us, we went down to Idaho. That's where we were. I was in Idaho. In Boise last week, we left on Monday morning and came back on Friday, but there was a meeting down there. It's pastor's school where just a bunch of pastors go and get preached to and have some lessons taught and everything. And so coming back on Friday and Saturday, yesterday, just thinking about what to preach on. And one of the preachers preached on this story, and I was just thinking of that story and thinking of that story. And this is a message that I first preached probably 15 years ago on this topic. And Lord just laid it on my heart here. So I probably should have, his outline was probably better. I should have stole his, but we're going to go with mine. We'll save his for another time when you've forgotten about this story. All right, but John chapter 12, John 12 this morning, we're going to read the first 8 verses here. John 12, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into it. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the special and the congregational singing. Lord, thank you for being good to us. And thank you for sending your son to die for us and save us, and save our souls from hell. And thank you for giving us life after that. Lord, not just everlasting life, but you've given us real life and real purpose and access to real joy and happiness, Lord, on this side of heaven. Lord, we do pray that you come back and get us soon. Lord, we understand the world's waxing worse and worse. And Lord, we need to take a stand for you and represent you and tell people that you did die for them. But Lord, we'd hope you come back soon and we'd see you face to face and you'd fix everything on this side. You'd fix us, you'd fix health, you'd fix our hearts still laden with sin. Lord, you'd fix relationships. Lord, you'd fix it all when you come back. And Lord, but we're looking forward to seeing you face to face. And Lord, we pray that you would increase and that I would decrease this morning. Lord, that we could look at this story from a couple books of the Bible and, Lord, glean some things from it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12, this is one of the three places in the Gospels where this story is mentioned. Each kind of gospel gives us a little bit of different insight, gives us a little bit of different things that were said, so we can kind of put it together and get the whole story. But I want to preach this morning on worshiping Jesus. Worshiping Jesus. Now, we see here in the passage from John 12 and verse number 3, it tells us that Mary, and of course this is Mary, Martha's sister, and Lazarus, but Mary worships Jesus. And she worships Jesus in a very specific way here of anointing him with some spikenard. We'll look into that here in a little bit. But that's the way that she is worshiping the Lord in this story. But that's not the only way that we can worship the Lord. Worshiping the Lord is not having some kind of costly perfume. Jesus isn't here, by the way. So we can't walk into church and figure out how we're going to, well, I have this, but I don't know how to anoint the Lord now, so I guess I can't worship the Lord. Worshiping the Lord is described differently in many parts of the Scriptures, all right, in many parts of the Scripture. But worshiping the Lord has to start with a reverence. It has to start with a love and adoration for the Lord. It has to start with showing respect unto the Lord. And often worship is honoring with something extravagant, with something above and beyond. That's what to worship the Lord is. So Mary does that in a very specific type here, in a specific way. But you and I need to learn how we can worship the Lord. It's important for us to worship the Lord because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. And we understand this kind of idea of worship. As Christians, you know, we're careful of how we use the word because we understand that we're not to worship idols. We're not to worship things. We're supposed to worship God. So as Christians, we put pause for concern in our vocabulary. But sometimes as Christians, we can worship the wrong things as well. It can get away from us where we think worship is just this one thing that the Lord deserves, yet sometimes we're not sure exactly how we're going to do it, or that we even do worship the Lord. But we're not going to worship other things. We're just going to show reverence and adoration and respect and honor with extravagant love towards other things. Does that make sense? We're not going to worship anything. But we're going to set things up in our lives in that place of extreme honor, where if we run the definition, we realize maybe we are worshiping. And listen, we can, the easiest thing to worship is men, other people, other individuals. We can worship them for many different reasons. We can hold them in such high regard for many reasons. You know, it's popular to worship politicians now. The ones we like, we hold them up in such high regard and as saviors. And if they were to walk through the back doors of our church, some people would, you know, not be yourself. The person that you say that you are, for all of the reasons why we can't worship the Lord. We would be that if a politician walked through the door, or a movie star, or a sports figure, or some popular CEO that's made a lot of money and has a big social media platform. Elon Musk. I was like, yep, some people still aren't getting it. If they were to walk through the door, whoo, adoration and respect and reverence. Listen, when a few months ago when we were in California, and we were there as a church, we were singing and trying to be a blessing there to Brother Steve Anderson's church. Steve Anderson's son works in car detailing for some rich people. And one of those people that he car details and has been in contact with and texts with is Tom Hanks. Anyone know that guy? Anyone ever heard of Tom Hanks before? Yeah, of course, right? You've probably seen something. Toy Story, probably. But you've probably seen something that Tom Hanks is in. I would say probably one of the greatest actors of my generation that I had seen. I'm not saying I approve of everything he does. I'm just saying that he's a good actor. And he corresponds with Tom Hanks. And supposedly, Tom Hanks, I don't know in what and how recent this was, but is that Tom Hanks received the Lord. He got saved. And he was supposed to come to the meeting because he's had some written correspondence, some letters, correspondence with one of the preachers that was there. And so he was planning on coming to be at the meeting, and he was asking if he could have, you know, some security with him because, you know, who knows? Show up to a Baptist church. You don't know what you're getting into. I don't know what I'm getting into when I walk into a Baptist church for the first time. Never been here before. It's going to be interesting, right? But he was going to come that night, and we were talking about what's going to happen if Tom Hanks walks through the door. Like, how are we going to respond, you know? Are we going to be fangirling when Tom Hanks walks through the door? I don't know. But it's possible that Christians would worship Tom Hanks more than they would the Lord in church. I would never do that. We just went over the definition. This is kind of why I'm preaching on it, all right? It's kind of why I'm preaching on it. But we need to understand that we should be worshiping the Lord. And we should give him his rightful place, and we should think about what his rightful place is. And we should think about that this morning. I want to say this, though, first, and we're going to draw it from John chapter number 12. Before we talk about the actual worship that she did, I want to look at the first thing here, man's idea of worship. All right, man's idea of worship. And man's idea of worship seems to always get it backwards. Seems to always not get it right. In chapter 12 and verse number 4, then said one of his disciples, it was Judas Iscariot. John's like, who was it? It was Judas. Oh, Judas Iscariot. No, Simon's son. It was the one that betrayed him. John wants us to know who this was. It was Judas Iscariot. And it says in verse 5, this is what Judas says. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He was the one in charge of the money. And he says, hey, why is this woman doing this to Jesus? Why wasn't this money, why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pennyworth? That sounds like a pretty good amount. 300 pennyworth is a pretty good sum of money at that time. Why wasn't this sold and we could have given this to the poor? And the Bible tells us he didn't even care about the poor. He cared about the money. And so this idea of worship, he speaks up and he says, what about the poor? And, you know, a thief is always worried about money. He's always worried about what's going to happen. And Judas stood up here and said something that on the outside, and we'll find out, others agreed with him and thought this would be a good thing to do if we sold the money and gave it to the poor. Now that would be worship. That would be something that would be right to do by God. That would be something that would make us look pretty good as well. We would look pretty good if we took this and then gave 300 pennyworth to the poor. It would look religious, but it's backwards. Why? Because man gets it backwards. Man is so worried about man. In our own ideas of worship, we're so consumed with self that we're going to get it backwards if we're not paying attention to the scriptures. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, the Lord is very clear about this. And Judas, and we'll find out, some other disciples, they got it messed up. Matthew 22, Bible says in verse 36, says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And here's Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So when this individual comes to Jesus Christ and says, "Hey, can you sum up the commandments? What's the greatest commandment that we could possibly do? There's a whole bunch of commandments that we're supposed to follow as Jews. What's the greatest one?" And he says, "The greatest one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's the greatest commandment. Do that and you'll have almost everything right. You put God first, you love Him first before everything else, and you'll get a bunch of things right by God. He says the second one's pretty similar. He says, "But thou shalt love thy neighbor." How much? As much as you love you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Say, what happens? If you love God with everything that you are, with all your heart and your mind and your soul, if you love God, you'll be right with God. And if you love others as much as you love you, you'll treat everybody pretty good. So between you and God, you'll have things right. Between you and others, you'll have things right. With those two commandments summed up. If you love your neighbor, you won't steal. If you love your neighbor, you won't kill. If you love your neighbor, you won't commit adultery. If you love God, you won't have any other gods before you. If you love God, you won't covet. If you love God more than anything else, things will be in its rightful place. But man gets it backwards. Judas Iscariot looks around and says, "Why didn't she take that and give it to us, and then we could have sold it and given it to the poor?" It was backwards. He was saying we should take care of the poor first instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying. That's what Judas was saying. Loving God and what he loves and loving what pleases him first and others second. That's what it should be. But religion gets it all backwards. Religion says we should have all these social programs to take care of everybody, and that will show our love, and that will show, see, we're good Christians. We're good people. Why? Because we're taking care of other people. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. I'm saying the Lord is first. And His will is first, and His desires are first, and what He loves should be first. There's no worship without love. You can't do that. You worship what you love. And worship is all over the map. First time the word worship shows up in the Bible is when Abraham was going to go on the mount and sacrifice Isaac. Say, whoa, wait a minute. No, the Lord's not asking you to do that. But it was a sacrifice that was going to be, it says, we're going to go up on the mount and we're going to worship the Lord. And he knew what the Lord had asked him to do. And it was out of love, and it was out of commitment, and it was out of respect. And we would say that, yes, that would have been extravagant love towards the Lord. But yet, worship is tied up in many different things. Unfortunately, the problem that you and I get can be the same that Judas had, and it was, how is this going to be perceived? How can we look better? How can we look good before someone else if we worship the Lord? And it's not about somebody else. Right. Worshiping the Lord is about you worshiping God. Amen. Worshiping the God that sent His Son to die on the cross for you. The Bible says, shed His own blood for you and I. That's what we should be concerned with when we think about worshiping the Lord. What pleases God? That should be the question. What pleases the Lord? Being in church is important. But worshiping the Lord while you're here should be more important. Now, it's not, you know, you hear this. You should be in church. Well, I can worship the Lord while I'm fishing. There's a chance you're going to love fishing more than you are the Lord. And you're going to be thinking about that more than worshiping the Lord. When you come to church, we try to set this up as a place with a spirit and an attitude where it makes it easy for you to worship the Lord. Because I understand, man, you can come on a Sunday morning dragging yourself in here saying, man, the world has just beat me up all week long. The fight and the temptation and the responsibilities and the pressures. And man, sometimes you can crawl into church and be like, I'm here. Yeah. And I'm glad you come. Because at some point, we want the church service to be in a spirit and an attitude where although you might have been just drugged through the mud and gut punched all week long, you can come in and sit and say, whew, okay. Thank you, Lord, I made it. And I need strength for the next week because I'm on empty. We can come and we can be recharged and we can have our eyes pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we should do while we're here? We should worship the Lord. While we're here. If you have nothing else to thank the Lord for, you can come in. If you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Because I could have all this mess and be headed to hell. But thank God you saved me. And I still have some of the problems, but thank God you're with me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you and praise you and worship you for that. He'll accept that. He'll accept that. He'll accept that worship. But man kind of gets it backwards. Well, how can I worship the Lord and it be public, that people can see me? Religions and social outreach before gospel outreach. If you want to help somebody, give them the gospel. I'm not against people giving money to the homeless, but you know what would be a good idea? Is to maybe tell some of the homeless sitting down by Walmart, say, are you hungry? Are you really hungry? Let's go into Wendy's, I'll buy you a burger, and sit down with them and give them the gospel. Amen. Say, well, I couldn't do it. I know. But how about gospel outreach before money outreach? Nothing's wrong with helping people, but what about their souls? Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord knows it's pretty important. The Lord knows, and man always gets it backwards. Man always gets it backwards. People feel pretty good giving money to charities. They feel good about it. They feel like they've done something honorable. They feel like they've pleased the Lord by giving money away to charities. And I'm not against giving money to charities. But, of course, you have to pay attention to what happens with that money. Because some charities, they're taking theirs off the top first, right? Administration fees, other things. When you start to study some of this, if a charity keeps 15% of 15 cents on every dollar, that's a pretty good charity. That's run pretty efficiently. Some keep 97%. 97 cents of every dollar given stays in-house and 3 cents of every dollar goes out to the cause. That's not good math. That's not good math. I'm not saying don't give money to charity if the Lord puts that on your heart. But I'm saying gospel first, worshiping the Lord first, and others second. There's a whole joy, J-O-Y. How do you have joy? J, Jesus first. O, others second. Y, you last. That's how we can have joy. But it's not backwards. It's not Y-O-J. I don't know what that would sound like, but it's not that. It's joy is Jesus first and others second and you last. That's one thing that I'm glad to say in this church. Every dollar that comes into missions, $1 goes out to missions. Thank God for that. And thank God that we're able to do that in our church. But we don't want to get it backwards. We don't want to get it worship backwards. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Let's look at another parallel story here. Parallel account of this story, Matthew 26. We're going to look in verse number 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box." We know this woman's Mary because John told us. "A very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, as he sat at meat." Now, if you remember John said feet. Matthew says head. Say, oh, it's an error in the Bible. It was probably both. One tells you the anointed the feet. One tells you she anointed the head. It was both. "As he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." He was telling the disciples many things. First of all, he says, you don't even understand what's going on here. She's doing this, and this is for my burial. And I've told you several times, but you still haven't figured it out, that I have to go and die and be buried and then raise again. Amen. He says, she's doing this for my burial. He draws attention to his death more than he does his birth, because that's what's important. That's what's important for you and I. But you know what happens here? Secondly, what we can see from this is not only is man's idea of worship usually backwards, but we can now see man's reaction to true worship. Man's reaction to true worship. What happens is Judas says, hey, don't you think this could have been sold? I mean, I'm estimating 300 pennyworth and given to the poor. You know what the rest of the disciples did? They said, yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Now who, not just Judas, but the disciples are now saying, hey, yeah, what's going on here? What's happening? This should have been done differently. What the Bible says that they had indignation in their heart. What's indignation? It's annoyance. It's being bothered by it. Not only did they think there would have been a better idea to do it, but their reaction to true worship was, shouldn't we have done something different? And this kind of bothers us. This kind of annoys us that someone's worshiping the Lord in this way when we think it should have been done a different way. We think it should have been handled differently. You know what they say? What purpose is this waste? I'm surprised the Lord handled it as well as he did. They say, what a waste to take this and to anoint the Lord's head and his feet. What a waste this is. You should have asked us and we would have done something that would have been of real purpose. We know how to worship the Lord. We know what should have went on. Judas starts to complain. The others get on board and they start to have indignation, anger mixed with contempt. Is an actual definition. Angry about it. about this. What is she doing? That's where they, over a woman anointing Jesus with oil. That's what they were getting upset about. They were getting all worked up over it. How dare she do this? What a waste. This devotion to Christ that she was showing. In maybe the only way that she knew how. This humility of her anointing Christ with this ointment, anointing his head and anointing his feet, and the humility that would have taken to do that. The sacrifice on her part to worship the Lord and to give this ointment that was worth something. To offer this to the Lord, to worship him for who he was. He was Jesus the Christ. To say, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be worshiped. Amen. And the disciples are sitting around going, who does she think she... What a waste. Man, I don't ever want to get to that place. Amen. I don't ever want to get to a place where I think somebody worshiping the Lord in the best way that they know how is a waste. Yeah. Yeah. Man, we should learn from that. What should we learn? Shut up. That would have probably been, obviously, the analogy is ridiculous. But if I would have been Christ sitting there, I'd have been like, why don't you and you and you shut up? I mean, he was much kinder in his ways, in his words, when he says something. What did he say? Why trouble ye this woman? His way of saying, what do you think you're doing? Why trouble you, this woman? She have wrought a good work on me. But that's what they were saying. What a waste. People with a strong dedication and devotion to Christ bother people who do very little for Christ. That's what ends up happening. Say, these were the 12 disciples. Yeah, but they weren't always perfect. And in this moment, they said, what a waste of this woman doing this. You know, in Matthew 14, verse 33, it's the only time recorded in the scriptures that the disciples worshiped Jesus. That's the only time in the scriptures you can see it. And say, when was that? That was after the incident with the boat where they all thought they were going to die. And Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. They're like, you saved us. You saved us. We're going to worship you, Lord. You are so good to us. But that's really the only time we see it in the scriptures. They were bothered by this woman showing affection. They were bothered by this woman doing what she could. The disciples, they were fed. They were clothed. They were protected. They were taught. They were taken care of when they were with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe too spoiled. Maybe too spoiled to recognize their need to worship the Lord. I'd venture to say sometimes you and I, we're too spoiled. We're too spoiled to realize that, man, when we realize what God has done for us, we should be able to worship the Lord. We should be able to praise the Lord, whether we're by ourselves, whether your mind is just so full of life that you forget to sometimes, and I'm not holding that against you because it happens. All right, I understand. But when we come into church and we have the opportunity to and lift our eyes up to the Lord and read some of the words of those songs and say, boy, man, he is worthy to be worshiped. I mean, we should be able to do that. We should be able to say, man, the Lord sure is good. And we should be able to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Sometimes we're just a little too spoiled. We go along in this life and we got things going on and maybe we don't have hardships all the time and we see someone else worshiping the Lord or doing something for the Lord or having an extreme devotion to God and we say, well, what a waste. What are they doing? People actually think that. And you're doing too much for the Lord. You're trying to live too holy for God. You're trying to do things in your life that is just too much. People actually believe that. They believe that people are, you know, people say, oh, well, they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I've never met that person. I've never met them. I've heard it said about people. Oh, they're just too spiritual. I've never met that person. I'm trying to be more heavenly minded so that I can please my Savior more. I'm trying to be aware and to worship the Lord when I'm by myself or when something happens or when good or bad happens, to just stop and say, Lord, you're worthy. Amen. Lord, you're good. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to worship the Lord more. I'm trying to look at people and say, they're trying to do something for God. Praise God for them. Amen. I don't want to be someone saying, what a waste. But yet people do it. People do it, and it's often the people that aren't worshiping the Lord at all that are getting on somebody else for decisions in their lives and trying to draw close to the Lord. It's man's reaction to true worship. We can often find ourselves more in the place of Judas, more in the place of the disciples than we can the woman. But we should want to be like her. And not like the disciples. Look in Mark 14. Mark 14. Mark 14. This is the third gospel of the same story. Mark 14, look in verse number 3. Mark 14, starting in verse 3. The Bible says, and beginning in Bethany, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do good, them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Amen. In Mark here, I want to look at Christ's acceptance of worship. Christ's acceptance of worship. What happens in verse number 6? He says, she hath wrought a good work on me. He says, let her alone. It was a good thing. Let her alone. What she's doing was a good thing. Doing what? Worshiping him. Yeah. Now, Jesus Christ either was God, as he said he was, or he was the biggest hypocrite that ever walked on the face of the earth. Yeah. Only, I'll say, whoa, that sounds... It's one of the two. I'm either God, and he's either said he was God and accepted worship because he thought himself equal with God, or he was accepting worship as a blasphemer. One of the two. If you came up and tried to worship me, I'd be like, hey, knock it off. Right? So that sounds crazy. It does sound crazy, but people do worship man. And Christians can worship. They can certainly worship the preacher. Right. You know what we're supposed to be? The preacher is supposed to be an example. Amen. That's what the preacher is supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to follow? You're supposed to follow my faith, yeah. Is what you're supposed to follow. But some people, they see the head, they see the figurehead, and they say, we're just going to follow and worship the man. And then when the man lets you down, you know what people do? They quit on God because the man let him down. Well, I hate to tell you, man's going to let you down. So what do I say? Don't follow me. Follow my example of following Christ. Follow that. I want to be a good example. I don't want to let you down. But you can't put all of your focus on my life and then be like, I'm going to serve God as long as he serves God. What if I don't? go on for Christ. Amen. Go on for Christ. But Jesus Christ, he accepted the worship. He accepted worship because he's God. Mary was showing true devotion and worship. And you know something about worship that we can find in the scriptures? True devotion and worship will always cost you something. It'll always cost you something. But when it's in love and devotion, it doesn't seem like that much. Right? Men, you provide for your wives and for your family. It costs you something to do that. It costs you more to live with a wife and children than it would for you to live on your own. But it's no great sacrifice. Why? It's born out of love. It's born out of love. You buy your children presents. You know what that does? It costs you something. It costs you money to do that. But it's not a big deal. Why? It's out of love. And the things that we can give, the things that we can offer, the things of our lives that we can give unto the Lord in true worship, you say, yes, I recognize there's a cost, but it's not a lot. It actually, what it cost me is much less than what it cost him that he gave for me. Amen. It's the people that feel obligated. Well, I have to do it. Man, this costs me so much money to do this for the Lord. It costs me money. It costs me time. It costs me pride. Yeah, you'll have to leave your pride at the door to worship the Lord. Yeah. You have to put your pride down in order to worship God. It costs me my dreams of self. Yeah, it might. It should. To worship the Lord and to put him first. It's going to cost you whatever the Lord asks of you. And a lot of times, whatever he asks, it's just not worth it to worship him. It's just not worth it to give him devotion and show him reverence. That's what people decide. They decide it's not worth it. And you know what happens when people worship the Lord? Other people murmur. We see it in verse 5. They murmured against her. They question what's going on. Why is she doing that? They always do it. That's what happens. You live for the Lord at the workplace and you make some decisions that you're not going to live like everybody else, and you're going to make some decisions to do some things that other people don't do, and you're going to quit doing things that a lot of people do. You know what happens? The world goes, what's up with them? What's up with them? Oh, you some kind of holy Joe or something? You know what a good answer for that is? I'm trying to be. Huh? I'm making decisions so I can please the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the decisions I'm making to please him. And what is that? That's worship. Yeah. To sacrifice unto him is worship. Those Old Testament Jews, they came. What did they bring to worship the Lord? They brought a sacrifice. It cost them something. It didn't matter how many lambs they had, how much of the flock they had. It didn't matter if that wasn't their, maybe they didn't have any. You know what they had to do? Take money and buy one from somebody. And then take that animal and then go and sacrifice it unto the Lord. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Because it cost us something. But what is it involved in? It worship's involved in sacrifice. That's what it is. And in verse number 8, you know what the Lord says? She had done what she could. She had done what she could. You know, that's all that God ever asks of you. Is just do what you could. We can get so caught up in the man side of things and the humanity side of things. Well, they do that, and this other person does this, and this other thing, and this other thing. All the Lord asks is if you do what you could. Amen. And you realize if you do what you could, the Lord is pleased with that. Yeah. He's pleased with it. Some people say, well, I can't do much. If you've done what you could, the Lord's pleased with that, and that's all that matters. Well, someone else isn't going to think it's a lot. Who cares what somebody else thinks? He might be in the other way, and you might say, boy, I can do a lot for, I can worship the Lord in some big ways. But what are people going to think if I worship the Lord in some big ways? Who cares what people think? Just worship the Lord. Amen. Just have you done what you could? That's what the Lord asks. There's a reason that people react negatively to other Christians' devotion to God is because they don't have a lot of devotion themselves. That's the negative reaction. Well, they're always doing this. They have done. Have you done what you could for the Lord? Have you worshiped the Lord? Do you have devotion unto the Lord? Are you thankful unto the Lord? There's many ways to worship the Lord. Many ways to worship the Lord. Some is just in thankfulness and in prayer and in gratitude and in praising the Lord. Some is outwardly praising God for who He is and worshiping the Lord. And I love the Lord. Have you ever said that in a place full of people that don't love the Lord? It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of our pride. It's a sacrifice of what people think of us. And we say, well, I love the Lord. Next time someone takes the Lord's name in vain, say, hey, can you please not use my Savior's name as a curse word? I love the Lord. And God's last name is not damn. Or Jesus Christ is my Savior, not a curse word. And just say, I love the Lord. And what, you know what that is? Say, yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah, it's you offering some praise to the Lord. It's you publicly worshiping the Lord and saying, He's my Savior. And I don't appreciate it when you take His name in vain. Yeah. Say, what does that do? They might think twice before they say it around you. And you've also taken a stand that you love God. That's a good thing. That's worship. You can do it in your car driving alone where no one's going to see you. Now, if you're on the highway, maybe someone's going to think you're crazy. That's all right. I've seen plenty of people singing and bebopping and hand dancing in the car. That makes me nauseous. All right, but whatever. If you're praising the Lord and you lift up a hand unto the Lord, you say, thank you, Lord. You have a tear running down your face because of how good God is to you. That's okay. What is it? You're worshiping Him. You're worshiping Him. It's good to do that. Like I said, it's good to come into church and open up a songbook and sing unto Him. It doesn't matter if you're on key or not. All right, just sing unto the Lord. Why? Because it's worship back to Him. What does it cost you to open up a hymn book and read the words and sing them? It costs you nothing. Why? Because we're all rooting for you. Amen. You don't have to, you singing a song isn't you taking a big stand for Christ in here. Most of us in here are standing up taking a stand for Christ in here. This is the easy place to do it. Man, the Lord overwhelms you with something, His goodness. You know what raising a hand is? It's worship. Amen. You know what saying amen is? It's worship. That's what it is. And some people are like, oh, why do they always have to say amen and talk out loud? Why did Brother Carmen always have to get loud? Mrs. Hudson's here. She'd probably appreciate it to hear somebody else get a little loud every once in a while. What is it? It's worshiping the Lord. So I would never do that. I know. And you're with the 12. Standing over there saying, what a waste. That's what people do. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know what the Lord says? Just keep your mouth shut. If you're not going to praise the Lord ever, then leave other people alone that are going to praise the Lord. Someone makes some decisions in their life to cut out some sin and get rid of some things to please the Lord, and other Christians go, oh, that's a little fanatical, don't you think? That's a little too far. Leave them alone. Maybe it is too far. You know what will happen? The Lord will show them and they'll come back a little bit. Yeah. Maybe it's where you should be and the Lord's using them to show you, you should get right. Yeah. But instead, people are all looking around. Oh, what do they think they're doing? Who do they think they are? They don't let their kids do that? Oh, man. I've been around this a long time. You know how many people were worshiping the Lord in the room? One. You know how many people were worthy to accept worship in the room? One. Amen. You know how many people were standing around? Well, we know at least 12 were probably complaining. Yeah. And were bothered by it. And we don't know what the other people were thinking. But that's we're going on the information we have. The information we have, one worshiping the Lord, everyone else going, what a waste. I can't believe this. We could have, things should be so much different. And man, You and I don't want to be in that crowd. Amen. You and I don't want to be in that crowd. You know where you and I want to be? Where we should be? Lord, how can I worship you? Amen. Lord, I want to be humble. I love you, Lord. I want my heart and my attitude to be turned towards you. Yeah. I want to be able to, if there's anything worth sacrificing for, you're worth sacrificing for, Lord. And praising you and pleasing you and doing right by you. That's worth it. Amen. That's worth it. And you know what Christ does when you worship him? It pleases him. He says, you've done a good thing. You've done a good thing. When I'm worshiping the Lord, he's up and I'm down. Amen. He's worth all the praise and I should be giving it to him. That's what you and I should be asking. How can I please the Lord more? Amen. What do you want next of me, Lord? What would please you in my life? What would worship you? What sacrifice could I give to please you, Lord? And let the Lord speak to your heart. He'll tell you if it's too much. So I need to sacrifice and please the Lord. So I need to go drain the bank account and give him all my money. Probably not. Maybe. Say, oh. You just take it to him. You just take it to him. Say, Lord, what would please you? Lord, sometimes, boy, I get stirred in my heart and I really want to raise a hand. I really want to stand up and just praise you. But would that please you, Lord? Yeah, don't think too hard. You'll be standing with the 12. You'll be standing with the 12. Well, we should worship the Lord. He's worth worshiping. I don't think there's any doubt. You're honest enough with yourself. Boy, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of sacrifice in our lives. Man, thank God for it. Don't be Judas. Don't find yourself standing around with the 12. If you're standing around with the 12, separate yourself. Amen. You know what your mother used to say? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You know what should happen when you see, when the Lord allows you to see someone else worshiping the Lord, is to say, Lord, should I be doing that? That's a good place to start. The disciples would have been a lot better off if they would have said, should I be doing that too? The Lord seems to be pleased with this, actually. Should I be doing that? That's a good place to start. Amen. And let the Lord lead and guide your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.